It's always a pleasure to visit with Kentucky Ag Commissioner Ron Quarles. Commissioner Quarles, this is one of your showcase events here in Kentucky, the Farm Machinery Show. It's a great, great week for you.
That's right. You know, every year farmers around not just Kentucky but around the world make that pilgrimage to Louisville, Kentucky. This year is the 55th annual National Farm Machinery Show, and during the evenings, it's the 52nd year in a row we have a championship tractor pull. We expect 300,000 people to enter the fairgrounds to look at the latest and greatest of ag technology. We have 900 vendors, and guess what? We have 400 more on the waiting list, and so we're actually having conversations about where we can actually increase the size of the show in years to come because we know the demand is so heavy.
You know, I know there's always a little orange in there from time to time. That's your favorite color in the tractors tonight.
That's right. You know, it's lonely sometimes, but we still cheer for the orange. But increasingly, there's not even one in the class. But sometimes, you know, you have to stick with tradition and make grandfather proud.
Great to kick this event off. Also, having your Mike Berry here, Governor's Office of one of our governor's secretaries helped kick it off. I mean, certainly they see it as a huge tourism event as well.
That's right. You know, we have some new faces in Frankfort, and so it's always important that we have folks from the tourism cabinet and other areas on grounds to see just how big this was. In fact, Secretary Berry is from Louisville. He's helped run the Kentucky Derby Festival for years, but he said that he was overwhelmed just by walking around one day at the farm show. And I said, hey, this is one of those signature agriculture events that Kentucky has that other states are jealous of, and we're always looking for ways to make it better.
Let's look back at 2019. Yeah. Tough year for farmers in some parts, especially some parts of Kentucky, wasn't it, Commissioner?
That's right. 2019, I'm glad it's in the rearview mirror. It was a tough year. It was a tale of two Kentuckys. The first half of Kentucky was really wet. We had a lot of delays getting planting out there, excess moisture. We actually exceeded our annual average rainfall by July, and then it stopped raining in a lot of areas of the state. And the further east you went, the worse it got. In fact, right now in February of 2020, we're having hay shortages in central and eastern Kentucky because there simply wasn't enough forage rolled up this past fall for the cattle industry. However, there were some pockets down in the Christian County area, Trigg County area, where we actually saw some record-breaking yields as well. So there were some areas that remained somewhat unscathed, but 2019, tough production year.
Yeah, a lot of farmers glad to put it behind them. 2020, what do you see out there for 2020? Some exciting things on the forefront, maybe?
A little bit of both. I mean, there's a lot of excitement out there about the continued growth of the poultry industry. Of course, every day we get a question on hemp, which, of course, we tell our farmers and producers to be careful, proceed with caution. But if you want to try it out, that's up to you. That's your decision. It's not government's decision. But, you know, I think there's still a lot of concern out there about the general farm economy. But walking around the farm show, the one area that seems to be really positive is our advancement on trade. We have phase one signed with China. We hope that leads to a bigger, more formal trade agreement. The USMCA was signed in law by the president 2 weeks ago. I was in D.C. when he did that. Biggest trade deal in American history. And so we hope that these trade advancements help us knock down the obstacles that remain between us and China. And we actually start making some progress on the United Kingdom, which is leaving the EU, which requires a new trade deal. And, of course, I think Japan is very promising. That's 120-plus million people who love to buy American ag products, and they have disposable income to buy it.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned this morning in the Ag Council. I mean, Japan may be what you're most excited about, huh?
It is. And what's cool about Japan and Kentucky is that we already have such a strong connection, whether it be with Toyota, where I'm from, my hometown. There's over 200 Japanese-based companies already in Kentucky. And so when we start talking about agriculture, it's an easy transition for us. I was actually fortunate enough to go there a couple years ago with the U.S. Meat Export Federation. And Japan's one of the top destinations for U.S. beef and U.S. pork, and the demand is strong. And we can guarantee you that cattle from Kentucky end up on the dinner plate in Japan.
And that's good. Every time we sell Kentucky cattle, that's fantastic. You know, farmers and agriculture still need to share a story. We were talking about that, obviously, just recently at the Oscars, another hit on agriculture here.
Yeah, unfortunately, I love the movies as much as the next person, but I don't like the lectures at the Oscars. In fact, I didn't even watch them this year, but it didn't take long.
What were they on?
It didn't take long for my phone to light up. And And look, I'm just kind of sick and tired of these Hollywood elites lecturing the rest of America, particularly our hardworking farmers, about things that I'm going to guess they probably don't know much about. And look, everyone's entitled to an opinion, but you're not entitled to your own set of facts. And what we need to do is make sure that we tell the positive story of American agriculture. And I'm just going to be firm about this. I am not ashamed to be part of the safest, most abundant food supply system in the world. That is the envy of most countries. And here in America, there's room at the table for all sorts of agriculture, whether people want to support organics or traditional GMO versus non-GMO. But what I don't like is when our celebrities at a very public national event lecture the rest of America using misinformation.
You know, speaking of that, I think we're seeing more of the products out there that are not meat and things like that. Really put some labeling challenges out there in front of you guys.
That's right. Now, there's technology out there, as we know, whether it be lab-grown meat, cell-cultured meat, or plant-based protein, which is actually legal to sell already, and you've probably seen some products out there. What we're trying to do at the Department of Agriculture is have a conversation about truth in labeling. I think consumers not only want, but they demand to know what's in their food. And with agriculture, we want to let them know exactly what it is. And that's one reason why our meat labeling bill last year passed so easily through the Kentucky General Assembly, that basically said, if you try to sell fake meat in Kentucky, you can call it anything you want. You just can't call it meat. And so as these new food products emerge, either at grocery stores or sometimes in our fast food restaurants, we need to be very vigilant and active with insisting that labels are truthful.
Absolutely, and I think that's where you guys come in. General Assembly worked well with you there on that last year. You guys are working on some things this year with the General Assembly, too. Tell us about it.
That's right. We have about 10 bills we're working on, some of which have already been passed and signed into law by the governor. In fact, the very first law to be made in 2020 in this new decade was an agriculture bill. We're updating our pesticides program. We have a bill about the Food Safety Modernization Act and the Food Produce Rule, which is so important for our producers out there that are affected by this congressional mandate. We also have a bill that passed that helped sell E15 fuel year-round. Of course, with Kentucky's ethanol plant down in your neck of the woods, it's so important that market availability is there year-round now that the EPA allowed it. And so we actually passed a bill weeks ago that allowed for E15 sales year-round. We also have an opening in our state vet's office. The deputy state vet decided to take a job with U.S. Department of Agriculture, and so we're actually in the hiring process for that, and we had to tweak our law considering that. So one thing that you can always count on is that Department of Ag, underneath my administration, is very active in the halls of Frankfurt. And, of course, the biggest piece of legislation in 2020 will be the budget, and we're making sure that we are advocating for the resources we need to run the Department of Agriculture in an efficient, effective way that's responsible taxpayer money. But at the same time, we have core mandatory state law-driven responsibilities we have to do, primarily on our inspection sides, that we have to make sure we have the resources to get done each year.
You know, something you mentioned this morning in the Ag Council meeting, still like to figure out whether or not Kentucky's right for a major ag processor as far as livestock goes.
That's right. You know, I've been so blessed to have a second term. This is a dream job for me, and I've made it very clear that in the second term, I want a definitive yes or no. Can Kentucky support a large-scale meat processing plant? I hope the answer is yes. It could really transform a lot of farmers and the availability for them to keep those mainly cattle from being shipped off to the Midwest, process them here in Kentucky, use that strong Kentucky Proud marketing program that's already been so effective, and sell that meat right here without it ever leaving the state. Now, look, the answer may be no once the feasibility study comes back, but there's 38,000 cattle farms in Kentucky. It's been a lifelong dream for a lot of folks to have that processing plant in our state, and so we're going to try our best to figure out if we can do it.
Well, Commissioner, it's always good to visit with you. Anything else on your mind tonight as we visit?
Well, this is also Farm Safety a week across Kentucky. Last week was. And so we just want to remind folks that as they gear up for the 2020 planting and grow season, to make sure that you share the roads with our farmers. They want to get home safe just like you do.